Philadelphia. Are you ready?
No, he said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome, everybody, to Brotherly Love Wrestling on today's show.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
I want to do it.
Go ahead.
Because I feel like it has to be said properly. The world famous CB.
Yeah.
I love it.
What's up, guys?
I was told all caps, so I knew you weren't going to do it. I had to do it.
Yeah.
No, definitely all caps when you say it.
I knew Larry didn't have it in him, so I had to step up.
Nor did I expect it, so I'm glad you did.
There we go. The only thing I planned.
Yeah. ZB, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing good. So we caught a little ROH this past Monday, as we do every Monday. And they gave the day before, they kind of you put out the origin of why you are no longer formally known as Cheeseburger and now the world famous CB. Now you said the reason why it was kind of it was time to move past and to start kind of like a new legacy for yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
How difficult was it to make this decision though?
It was really tough because it's like we've been doing something for so long. You know, I've been the Cheeseburger like character for about 7-8 years in Ring of Honor, and it was something that took me to a lot of awesome places in wrestling, you know, like so many great Ring of Honor matches, obviously to the stuff I did with New Japan as well. And it got me to such a great level of my career that it was really hard to let go. But I knew like if I want to progress to a level that I saw for myself that I knew I could reach, I knew there was a shelf life on Cheeseburger. You know, I felt like it was getting to that end period sooner rather than later. And I figured it was time to evolve. I always felt like Cheeseburger kind of just had this ceiling of being like a novelty act on it. And even though fans really loved it and they loved the gimmick, but I knew like to get to that next level, I was going to have to evolve myself. And it had been something I've been thinking about for at least like the past year or two. And then when the lockdown happened, I had a lot of time to just sit and think and reevaluate my career. And I didn't want to come back to Ring of Honor just as myself. I wanted to come back completely different, completely new. I didn't want to just come back doing the same old stuff. And the lockdown gave me a convenient excuse to start putting the wheels in motion to getting this change. Because when you're wrestling regularly as something, it's like a hard change to make. But when there's like that long break and people haven't seen you for a while, it makes it a little bit easier to transition to something different.
Now, did the current landscape of ROH, did that kind of help weigh your decision to make the change? Because the atmosphere around there is a lot different than it was a little bit before pre-lockdown and whatnot. Some new signings, they're starting to do more of a old school Ring of Honor approach when it's just fighting, basically. It's just wrestling. They basically simplified it all down to a little bit of gimmick here and there. A lot of good video package work and a lot of good wrestling. That's kind of like the bread and butter of what ROH used to be. So did that kind of play a part in you changing your name?
It didn't necessarily play a part in it, but I think it made it easier for the office to accept it. I already kind of like had the plan in motion before I knew what Ring of Honor was going to come back as. Like when I started coming up with the idea of changing and started coming up with like the initial versions of what would later become world famous CB. Like Ring of Honor was still like a few months off from doing your first taping. So none of us knew like what form Ring of Honor was going to come back as. Like we didn't even know like if the pure tournament was still going to happen. But I knew I just wanted to come back different. And then when I pitched it to Ring of Honor, to management, to my boss, he was like, yeah, I agree. Like, it's time to move on. And like, this is their direction Ring of Honor is going. Like, we're going in a more serious, like a pure wrestling type of direction where we make it more real, where they, like you said, they have video packages where we get fans get to know wrestlers as themselves, you know, like they're just sitting down interviews where you get to know about people's history and their real life struggles and everything. And I think that change made it easier for the office to jump on board with it. But I, you know, like I said, I didn't know what direction Ring of Honor was going to go, but I knew the direction I wanted to go.
And it kind of, it fits perfectly because now you've kind of developed into more serious.
Yeah, I get to be in the pure division. Like when I found out pure division was coming back, I knew like, oh, cool. I get the, this is where I want to be a part of, because that's right up in the style of wrestling that I like to do.
Yeah, I think the best part about it is working with guys like a Gresham, who it right now is considered the top of the top,
number one,
mm-hmm. when it comes to professional wrestling and on the indies as well. Like
when it comes to pure wrestling,
yeah,
like, he's like the, he's the embodiment of it.
Yeah,
and yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Gresham is amazing.
There's like, a lot of people that are up there.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people that are up there, but I think that if you're going most well known right now, I think he's probably one of the tops of the list.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he's the man.
Go ahead, finish what you were.
But yeah, no, anyway, with that, and you see, and I've seen every social media update of all these signings that Ring of Honor keeps locking people up, and it looks like the style is going to be around for a while. They're really locking in with this. And guy, and signing guys like Tony Deppen is another one, who is one, a personal favorite of ours, and just with that wrestling, he has an amazing character as well.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah. I think people really need to take notice of what Ring of Honor is doing, because I don't think enough people are paying attention with all the stars you guys have.
Yeah, man. I think like the resurgence with the Pure tournament was a big thing for us. I think that got a lot of people interested in Ring of Honor again, and a lot of people like got a lot of eyes on us in the wrestling world. I think that was a good thing to start with for kind of the reinvention of Ring of Honor. You know, we were on break for so long, and like we weren't doing any new taping, so it was just all like clip shows, like highlight reels and everything. And then I think we came back so different with such a buzz with the Pure tournament that a lot of those fans that either came back to Ring of Honor or seen Ring of Honor for the first time, I feel like they're sticking around and like enjoying what they see. Like I feel like the way we present our empty arena matches are so different than all the other companies that are doing no fan stuff. Like the vibe, like with our stuff, I don't get, when I watch it, it doesn't feel like it's an empty arena show, the way it's like shot and like the way the arena's laid out and the way the cameras are placed. It just feels like people have the wrestling match, but you don't even realize that there's no people there. I think that has helped us a lot in terms of, we've really invested in making empty arena matches like palatable for the average fan.
I think having the rules in place and having an easy set of rules and making like within the match, like the rules within the match make you want to watch it. I think that mm-hmm. helps immensely. Like, and you know, there's a time limit. So, you know, you're not, unless the time limit says otherwise, you're not getting like sitting there for 35 minutes watching two people with no one else around. So I think
yeah,
that
definitely
kind of helps too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that we have the graphics on screen of like the rope breaks and like the time limit and everything. It makes it, I think it makes all of that stuff just, you want to make things as easy to understand for a new fan, you know? So I think all little things like that help tremendously to the average person that is seeing us for the first time.
Yeah, and when you guys came back, when ROH came back, I said it a few times, that it was like a breath of fresh air, because it seems like every other company is out there trying to overcomplicate things and put too much together mm-hmm. at once, and it's nice to just see something that is just simplified and well thought out and put together. Like, you don't have to worry about 1,000 different storylines going on at once, and who's going this way and that way, who's going to be fighting for the championship, and all these ranking systems and all this. It's just, it's just there in front of you. It's easy to follow. Like, it makes
oh, yeah.
complete sense.
Yeah, I feel like we did a good job of proving to people that wrestling can be simple. It can be a simple athletic contest with people just having reasonable, like, I guess, feuds and, like, issues with each other, where they don't have to be super cartoony or super out there. And I think us going so far, like, to the opposite spectrum of wrestling is what has helped set us apart during this whole pandemic. Because we managed to separate ourselves so much from everything else that's out there. And I think people that are wanting that more sports-oriented feel of wrestling, they'll be at home watching Ring of Honor.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the one thing we've been asking this question for a while now to all the people that we have on and have are in wrestling and been in wrestling, especially with your expertise and how long you've been a wrestler. When you are relaxing and when you are at home, do you watch wrestling? Can you disconnect and be a fan and watch wrestling? Would you rather not because maybe it drives you crazy picking things apart that you may see? Do you watch the televised product?
No, yeah, I watch wrestling on TV like every week, and then I'll be watching stuff on YouTube just throughout the week. Like it's for me, it's I'll see things like as I watch it, but it's still easy for me to still be a fan of wrestling. Like especially if I'm at like a live show, like where I'll just be. If I'm at like a live like indie show and like I've like say done my match already, I'm just like watching people wrestle. I like to just like embrace the match and just be like a fan and everything. Like I'll still like see things here and there, and people want to come up to me for advice. I'll be like, oh yeah, I saw this and this, but I like just being in the moment, just watching it as a fan and just enjoying it. Because if I'm just like trying to nitpick every single thing, especially like on like if I'm watching TV wrestling, it's just gonna like drive me crazy. So I'm able to kind of turn my brain off and just like, oh okay, I just want to enjoy this. And when I see a really good match, it just makes me feel that much better.
I feel like it's crazy to see, like a wrestler is able to disconnect and do that, but yet the fan can't disconnect and just enjoy it for the most part. There's always got to be something. Like, why has it been like everyone has to overthink the simplest thing? Like, it's just easy enough to just watch it. Like, I feel like everyone forgets why they actually started to become a fan of wrestling nowadays. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating,
right? I'll speak for myself. Like I could turn my brain off. I feel like the majority of wrestlers like can't do that. Like I feel like especially like people who are like trainers, I feel like the majority of people are just like, oh, they're like really like they can't like focus on the match and just like nitpick at everything. But I'm able to just kind of like relax and just kind of like, all right, I just want to like chill out and just enjoy a good match.
Well, I love that you do that, because I think as fans, when you guys are doing what you're doing and we can see that you guys are having fun, I mean, and being as good as you are and still being able to have fun, fans, it comes off to the fans and it makes watching it even better. So when you guys are fans, I think that as a fan, it's better. It's so much better to see someone that enjoys what they do instead of, all right, now I'm just going to go have a match. And not want to pay attention to what's going on as far as you know, I mean, watching the television product, period.
No, definitely, yeah.
Other wrestlers building up other wrestlers helps too. Like when people are like putting each other over, I think fans need to appreciate that more instead.
Oh yeah, yeah. I love like if I like I'll just like even if I just like I'm watching an indie show, like I'll just like tweet like, oh, like I really like this guy from the show, or like this guy is going to be like a big star or something like that. Like I think that's just like if I'm like. Like, again, I'm still, like, a fan at heart. So even, like, people who are, like, my peers, like, the indie sassy, I'm just like, oh, man, I'm, like, really becoming a fan of this person. Let me, like, write, like, a tweet about them, you know? Like, it was just, like, I just did, like, an indie show in Ohio, and I was, like, tweeting. I just watched back on IWTV, and I was tweeting about people like Trish Adora and, like, Lee Moriarty and, like, Eli Isom and, like, Trey Lamar. Like, and it was, like, oh, these matches are cool. Like, I like you know, these people saying, like, good things about them, you know? So I think that just makes the business better overall for everybody.
Yeah, I watched that show last night, and that was, like, from start to finish, like, a perfect card.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. I get to do commentary on it. It was awesome. There's actually, like, a funny moment where, like, I was, like, at the dojo, and, like, I had it on, like, the background, and I was, like, putting, like, my shoes on or something. And, like, at the first match starts, and someone's on commentary, I'm like, who's that dude on commentary talking? I don't recognize it. And I was like, oh, wait, that's me. I was like, oh, wait, like my brain just for a second forgot I was on commentary for that show. Wow.
Yo, that dude sounds familiar. He sounds pretty good. Like, who is that
talking right now?
Yo, I think I like that dude. Who is that dude?
Oh, I was like, wait a minute.
I'm hoping you were by yourself when you're doing this.
No, I was with Boomer Hatfield. He was standing with me.
So is there, as long as you've been wrestling, is there anyone out there now that you look at and go, there's someone I could tear it down with that maybe you haven't wrestled yet?
Oh man, there's so many people. Like the indies, there's so much talent out there on the indies. Definitely top of my list would be Lee Moriarty. Like, I'm a big fan of his work. I got to roll around with him a bit. He's come up to like the Worldwide Dojo to train for a little bit, and he's awesome. Like, he's one of my favorites. Like, he's a guy I really want to see in Ring of Honor. Super technically sound, super like just fantastic at everything. Like, and a guy that's still like super new, but he has like a really bright future. And I haven't gotten to wrestle him in a singles match yet, but I'm a big fan of Wheeler Yuta. He's awesome. Like, I definitely want to, you know, mix up with him in a singles match at some point.
Ever been a singles match with Wheeler?
No, wait, we did do a singles, but it was in a gauntlet, actually. It was in a gauntlet for up in Connecticut. But when the match he had in the gauntlet was like 2 minutes max, I think. So,
all right.
I want to get like a long singles with him.
I find that hard to believe that he never wrestled Yuta one on one.
No, yeah. He's a fantastic, like super good wrestler, like awesome. I'm trying to think. There's tons of people. I feel bad like leaving people out, but like, yeah, definitely Lee and Yuta are two of my favorites right now.
I feel like Lee is like almost perfect for Ring of Honor right now.
Oh, definitely. He fit, like, no question he'd fit in the pure division. He's in not on the indies, but like Gresham too. I love, like, I haven't had a singles with Gresham yet. We've had like multi-mans and like tag matches, but we never gotten the mix up in the singles match. So that's one of my dream matches right now.
So just for how long you've been doing it and how that match has been there for how long, and it's never happened. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy.
But now I feel like with the character change, now like it's these matches like that, like me and Gresham like getting like a long singles match, are, I feel like those matches are possible now, where like as with Cheeseburger character, it was maybe seeing Cheeseburger maybe like a longer than normal singles match wasn't something people wanted to see, because Cheeseburger was more of a character that was like a wrestler in the background, whereas now I want to be a wrestler but also a wrestler slash character rather than a character slash wrestler, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Yeah,
absolutely.
And you were part of a faction last time.
Yes. 3S, Shinobi Shadow Squad.
So that kind of hurt you in your singles game anyway, because you
when I did my ROH match with Tracy, I think it said my last singles match was like 2018, I think, in Ring of Honor. It's like November 2018. That was my, I didn't even remember the match. Like, it was like me and like Kenny King and like Buffalo. And I was like, oh man, wow. I didn't even realize it had been that long since I had a singles match in Ring of Honor.
Wow.
I love the trio stuff though. The trio stuff was awesome. That was like one of my favorite points in my career. I love doing six man tags are some of my favorite matches to watch. Yeah, it was really cool getting to be creative, because you have like six people, you have so much opportunity to do like really crazy stuff in the match.
You also get to take a little breather on the side too for a little bit.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Preserving your body.
Yeah.
And when there's crowds, you're able to work the crowd, which is a strong point of yours anyway, because it's
easy for
the crowd to get behind you.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, did you fear, like, when you made the transition to world famous CB, did you fear that some of the fans wouldn't back you?
Yeah, definitely. That was like, I would say the main fear was I didn't know how fans were going to perceive it. I didn't know like if they were going to be supportive, because like I said, so many people love Cheeseburger. Like, not just like fans and like wrestlers like really enjoyed the gimmick, and like there's always like, there's like, you know, parents and stuff, they're like, oh, my kid, you're one of my kid's favorite wrestlers and everything, like, you know, like people look up, like, oh, my kid like looks up to you, they really like think the gimmick's like fun. So it's like I didn't want to lose that fan base. And but like so far, like everyone's been super supportive. Like, I was surprised at how supportive the reception.
Oh,
you guys good?
Yeah, you're good.
Sorry. We all good?
Oddly enough, you're about to say reception, and that's when we lost you. I mean, irony just loves.
Yeah, just loves. Sure, I am good. Okay, I think we should be good now. All right, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
I was saying I was very surprised at like the reception World Famous CB had. Like, so far, the fans have been super supportive. Like, I've not had like any like backlash at all, and like people are excited. I think people, I think the video package that Ring of Honor put out helped a lot, because I was able to explain the story and why I felt this way and what my motivation was. I think people seeing that video, that they understood where I was coming from, and that was why they were so supportive.
And it helps that your gear is pretty kick-ass too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. The gear and the hair, the jacket, all of that, the hat.
Now, when you put this together, were you thinking of like a heel or face thing, or were you just thinking to be like, I'm gonna be fresh? That's just gonna be me.
I just thought it looked really cool. I had my old ring jacket, even as Cheeseburger, I had like the leather one with like fur on it for a bit, and so I wanted to have a new one that was like double the fur and like real like shaggy. So I got that, and I was already doing the hat and glasses thing, so I got new versions of those. And then with the gear, with the trunks, like I wanted to have just like real cool like designs on the back of my trunk. So I had like, I found this like cool psychedelic like fabric to give to my gear maker. He did a fantastic job on it. I wasn't necessarily thinking of heel or face. I was just thinking I want to look cool, and but the idea I had in my head was like a technical wrestling pimp, and that was kind of the baseline for it, and then kind of progressed from there.
I mean, I'm thinking tactical wrestling pimp definitely screams heel.
Yeah. Hey, God, I don't know, Godfather was a face. So,
I was thinking the same thing.
I know. I mean, it's strange what wrestling fans become fans of, huh?
Yeah, true.
Although, a pimp's a beloved character in any fashion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Cheeseburger, I'm sorry. God, I knew I was going to do that at least once.
TV.
So do you have any information? Is Ring of Honor going to be down at or in Tampa for WrestleMania weekend? They're going to run a show?
No, I don't believe so at all. Like I'm pretty much 100% sure they won't do anything like that. Like, it's already hard enough for us to do tapings, but like, no fans in Baltimore. I don't think they have any plans of going down to Tampa and having like fans or anything down there. It's like right now their main focus right now is safety of the talent. And we've been able to do that with the bubble, with the hotel and everything. So I think we're just gonna keep doing that until whenever, like, I guess the country or Maryland or whoever like deems safe enough to stop doing that. But I mean, we've been doing the bubble and we've been keeping all talent safe with COVID cases. Like, we haven't had any outbreaks or anything. It's been working, so I don't think they have any plans to go away from that and like run. I would be very surprised if we run anything with fans like before, like, I don't know, like winter next year or so, winter like later this year or fall or something. I would be like really, really surprised if we do anything by fall.
I mean, there's no rush if they don't need to. If they're mm-hmm. comfortable with being able to run those shows, and there's no rush. I mean, when we've seen it before, when people have rushed to get people in there, I mean, we saw the backlash.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure.
It spread. Mm-hmm. So I mean, yep. How has that process been? The bubble.
Oh, the bubble's been cool. It's been different. It's like we go in and we literally live in the hotel for essentially a week. We will go and check into our room. We quarantine for a day or two, depending on the schedule. And then we'll go down, get our first test, come back, wait for the results. So either we'll do it like a PCR test and the results will take like a day, or we'll do a rapid test and get them like the same day. But basically we get tested three different times. We get tested once before we go to the bubble. We get there, quarantine for a day, get tested the second time. If that's good, then we're able to go to the dojo and like do pre-tapes and everything. Then we go back to our hotel, do our first show the next day, come back to our second show the next day, come back, one more test, then we go home or do pre-taping and go home. But we get tested three times in total. We have to stay in our room. We're able to go to the, like, scheduled gym time at the hotel, but unless you're going to go like see the doctor or going to the show or going to like pre-tapes at the dojo, like, you're supposed to stay in your room the entire time. We like order food and like get it delivered or use room service or something. But yeah, it's been, I mean, I don't like, when I'm like not traveling, I don't like, I only am home or at the dojo. So I'm cool, like just sitting in like a room for a few days. Like, it doesn't like bother me at all. And there's some people like to get out and be out and about, but I'm just like cool, just chilling. I'll bring like some video games and like some workout equipment to the room and, you know, some snacks, and that'll be good.
Now, you mentioned the dojo, and I didn't want to bypass the dojo since we mentioned it a couple times. Out of the group that you're training right now, like who are some of like the top prospects or people that we should have our eye on now?
Oh, there's a ton of people. Pretty much our entire, like, I don't know if you guys saw, we ran our first live stream show. It's called like Capture Lightning. And like pretty much everybody on that card like has like a really bright future. But just to name off like a few names, like Ryan Nova is like really talented, Eli Isom, Still Life with Apricots and Pears is with us now. Guys like Travis Huckabee, Matt Mikowski, Devontae's, they're all like super talented. Boomer Hatfield, I've seen him like grow and like progress like a lot. Marcus Schuyler and some of our women's, like Vita Von Starr and like Damaris Dawkins and Abby Jane and Crusher. Like, we've got so much, like, I feel bad leaving people out, but like, we got so much, the Whisper, he was awesome at the Capture Lightning. He's super fantastic. But we got like so many good guys and girls here. I feel bad if I left anyone out, but yeah, we got a wealth of talent. But just, I highly recommend anyone go to Independent Wrestling on Facebook. It's called literally Independent Wrestling. Go to their video section. You'll see our show, Capture Lightning. It's only an hour. It's like it goes by super quick. A fantastic 5-match card. Just an hour of really good wrestling. And all our students on that card like absolutely killed it. Pretty much like everyone on that card like has a super, super bright future. That show, I was really, really proud of that show and like what we did on that.
And if you watch it, you get to see Devontae slam two people at the same time, which is...
Oh, yeah, that was super cool. That was awesome. I wrestled Pancakes on that show, who's awesome, too. Me and Pancakes had a really fun match.
Was that the one where Pancakes had different gear?
Yes, he got new gear. He got his first set of gear, not new gear, but...
Well, yeah. Gear...
Period. Yeah, gear. Yeah, got gear. Yeah, yeah. He got I didn't see it. I thought he was just gonna be wearing like his old stuff, and I saw. I was like, oh, this is cool. I didn't realize you had this. Yeah, he looks kind of like looks kind of like super crazy a little bit.
He does.
Nah, Pancakes is awesome, man. He's got a bright future as well.
Yeah, when that's the cool thing about it, and watching that show is because we've had several Camp Leapfrog wrestlers on our show, and
Worldwide Dojo
attendees. But that's the thing that is really cool that we love, is because a lot of those guys and girls came from Shikara, which shut down, to see them be able to be showcase on all these shows and showcase and people to see them, because in our backyard we've seen them and we've seen what they can do, to then now get exposure and get out there is so much fun to watch, and we can't wait till more people can discover them.
It's like a nice homey. Like you get like a feeling, a sense of home. You're like, oh, these are my people.
Yeah, definitely. I take great pride in all my students. It makes me really happy seeing them succeed and seeing them get booked places and get opportunities to shine. That's been, you know, more so than like wrestling. That's like that's pretty much like my life's work right now, is making sure the Worldwide Dojo is, you know, known as one of the top schools in like the world, you know, not just the U.S., but I want to be one of the top schools in the world. I want to be a destination for people to come and learn and get better at their craft. And, you know, just I want to be known as the school that produces fantastic, awesome talent and just people that make wrestling better. And that's my overall goal, is to make wrestling better and create a better environment for wrestling. Like, I feel like a lot of the bad stuff that happened to wrestling, we don't need to talk about it, but all the stuff that happened like last year and everything, like I feel like a lot of that begins at the level of the schools, where it produces that environment that kind of like spreads out into the actual like shows and all the other aspects of wrestling. And I think if we can create like a positive, like nurturing, conductive learning environment and teach people the right way to be in wrestling, I think that right there will, if you get to the root of the issue, that will just make wrestling better for everybody.
That's nice to hear. Because, I mean, yeah, you're right. With everything that has happened, you're kind of just like, oh, we need something to happen that's going to spin this around. And I mean, us personally getting to see it firsthand is great. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of your students, they look lost and terrified, and it was like, it hurt us. So to see all doing well again, like, it makes you feel good. I mean, it makes you feel good for them.
And a lot of them found like a new home here, and they've been awesome to have. And it's been awesome getting to teach them and show them stuff that they, you know, never like really learned. Like, I really enjoy like teaching new stuff to people and seeing them like start to get it, you know, whether it's like moves or in-ring psychology or like promo work or just like facial expressions or character work, whatever it may be. Like, I really enjoy like getting to show someone something new and help them just get better and see them like starting to understand it.
Now, when you're running the dojo, do you see yourself after wrestling, when maybe you just, if your body's too beat up or you just decide to stop, do you see yourself branching out and doing more in, as far as in the business goes? Would you maybe decide to be a booker or, take over a promotion or something like that? Would that be in the future for you?
I don't know if I'll ever like start running my shows, because they're way too stressful. Even when I did like the live stream, just like, you know, it's a 5-match card and it's only like an hour. And it's like, but I just like was like so stressed out about it, and also having to wrestle on the show too. It's just like, I'm like, how do people do this on like a large scale? Like, this is way too much stress. But I don't see myself ever like doing that, but I definitely could see myself like in the future being like an agent or a producer, just different roles backstage. Like, I've just throughout my career, I've had the opportunity to work a lot of different roles backstage, you know, or like ringside, whether it be like when I first started, I would just run the spotlight at Ring of Honor, or then I eventually moved to being ringside, like collecting streamers and collecting gear. And then I became the bell keeper. And then there's been times where I've had to run gorilla position. Like, I've had the headset on, having to like give like cues and everything. And there's been times also on like shows where I've had to be like an agent or a producer. And so like, I've gotten to dip my toe into like a lot of these different aspects of wrestling. So I could definitely see myself, like, if, you know, I get too beat up or something, you know, happens, like moving into another role, like, I would fully support myself doing that.
It's good to know. And I think as well, you passing on the knowledge that you've already gained throughout your career in whatever aspect you're doing, I think it helped, like you said, helping the community of wrestling as a whole, and the more knowledge that gets passed around and building the future of wrestling, I mean, can only do wonders for the upcoming talent.
Absolutely.
Speaking of the future and traveling, when everything opens back up, whenever that might be, I don't know, maybe a year from now, who knows? But where's the first place that you want to go? Like, what's the first place that you want to wrestle?
Oh, definitely back to Japan, for sure. For sure, back to Japan.
I was going to say that, and I'm glad you did. Now, how do you think you'll be received over in Japan as your new persona?
I'm not sure. I mean, I have like for most tours I did, I gained a lot of Japanese fans. And they followed me on my journey as well. I think they'll still be their support. Like, Japanese fans are insanely supportive. They're like awesome. They like are super respectful, super supportive. So I think they'll be along for the journey. I think they'll enjoy it.
Yeah, it's always interesting to watch the differences between the Japanese fan base and the American fan base and you can tell, like, they treat it like, it is like utmost respect. It's like, you're there to be entertained. Mm-hmm. Yes. You're not there to be a part of the show. You're there to watch the show and to absorb it and to do what you're supposed to do. It's like they know.
Yeah.
So unless you have anything else.
I don't, my father and myself were watching ROH probably, I want to say, 6 or 7 years ago. And it was like one of our first times watching. It was a pre-tape. And it was, I believe, you versus Dalton Castle and the boys.
I don't know. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Dude, you've definitely wrestled them more than once.
I think I've wrestled them at least like twice.
But I'm pretty sure it was that match. And it was our first time seeing. My dad's like, this guy's skinny, like, look how small he is. Like, how's he? And then the match proceeds, and you're getting beat down. And I'm pretty sure you went through a table, but you kept going and you kept going. And by the end of the match, because my dad is like a kid at heart when he watches wrestling.
Yeah.
He just wants to be entertained. He wants to feel something through wrestling. Like, he just watches it as a kid. And by the end of the match, he was cheering for you.
Get up.
And that's our first time seeing it. I was just with my dad, and he's like, I was like, man, he's still a kid watching this. Because you had him hooked by the end of the match. He's like,
that's awesome.
I can't believe it. Because he still lives by the kayfabe rules, where he cheers for the good guys and he boos the bad guys. And I just thought that was funny and fun to watch. I'm like, man, he's got it all figured out. But it was just a testament to you doing like your job, like that underdog role, and how you like adapted it and made it your own, and like kind of it made like every match you were in special.
Yeah, thank you. Like, it's been a crazy journey, but like, happy I got to do it. You know, I'm happy like so many people have like dug my work and like are still here on the, you know, the train, like support me. So hopefully they stay on and we're gonna take this to the end of the tunnel.
Well, CB, thank you so much for taking the time and talking with us. Really appreciate it. It was an honor having you on the show and talking to you. And hopefully we'll be seeing you soon on Ring of Honor TV.
Hopefully, yeah. I'll be back. I'll be back on soon. Don't worry.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a good night.
That was the world famous CB.
Great job.
Thank you.